Going to have our Bible reading for this morning, and Rupert is going to come and read for us.
It's taken from the book of Acts, chapter 9, verses 1 to 19. Meanwhile, Saul was still breathing out murderous threats against the Lord's disciples. He went to the high priest and asked him for letters to the synagogues in Damascus, so that if he found anyone there who belonged to the way, whether men or women, he might take them as prisoners to Jerusalem. So as Paul neared Damascus on his journey, suddenly, a light from heaven flashed around him. Paul fell to the ground and heard a voice say to him, "Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me?" "Who are you, Lord?" Saul asked. "I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting," he replied. "Now get up and go into the city, and you will be told what you must do." The men traveling with Saul stood there speechless. They heard the sound, but they did not see anyone. Saul got up from the ground, but when he opened his eyes, he could see nothing. So they led him by the hand into Damascus, and for 3 days he was blind and did not eat nor drink anything. Now, in Damascus there was a disciple named Ananias, and the Lord called Ananias in a vision and said to him, "Ananias?" "Yes, Lord," he answered. The Lord told him, "Go to the house of Judas on Straight Street and ask for a man from Tarsus named Saul, for he is praying. In the vision, he has seen a man named Ananias come and place his hands on him to restore his sight." "Lord," Ananias answered, "I've heard many reports about this man and all the harm he has done to your holy people in Jerusalem. And he has come here with authority from the chief priest to arrest all who call on your name." But the Lord said to Ananias, "Go. This man is my chosen instrument to proclaim my name to the Gentiles and their kings and to the people of Israel. I will show him how much he must suffer for my name." Then Ananias went to the house and entered it. Placing his hands on Saul, he said, "Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus, who appeared to you on the road and as you were coming here, has sent me so that you may see again and be filled with the Holy Spirit." Immediately, something like scales fell from Saul's eyes, and he could see again. He got up and was baptized, and after taking some food, he regained his strength. Amen. Thank you.
Thank you, Rupert. So we're working our way through a book called Just Walk Across the Room, helping us in this whole area of sharing our faith. We began 2 weeks ago in the book of Philippians, chapter 2, where Jesus left heaven to come to earth for our benefit. And in many ways, that was a model for us to step across the room, to look around us, and who's God nudging us and, you know, encouraging us to go to. And then last week, we were in Luke 15, where we thought about the shepherd who went searching for the one sheep out of the 100, the lady who had lost one of her silver coins, and then the father whose son went off. And we were discovering that God loves the lost, whether it was a sheep or a coin or a person, being illustrated that God loves the lost. Today we're thinking about how powerful stories are. And of course we all have a story, and stories are powerful. And I want to just begin by sharing a story with you. It's about a guy called Paul. Paul came from a very wealthy family. His mum and dad had lots and lots of money, etc. And so Paul, growing up, had pretty much anything he wanted or needed. Not that he was spoiled, they just had lots of money. They could buy good things, I suppose. And then Paul left school, he went to university, and this was Paul's big opportunity to live independently. He loved his parents, he loved his brothers and sisters, but it was just an opportunity to be independent and not always depending on his mum and dad and getting everything from his parents. And so that's exactly what he did. He got himself a place on his own, and everything was great for Paul. And yet, after probably less than a year, Paul got a bit homesick, and he wanted to go back to live with his parents. And again, that's what Paul did. And it was while he was back with his parents, Paul one night was out, casually drinking at a pub, and he came across some people. He just got and, struck up conversation and discovered that they were really into life as an adventure. They were keen to do things I hadn't done before. And Paul was quite drawn to this group of people that he was chatting to. And, Paul wanted to do the things that they were doing. It wasn't bad things, it was just adventurous things, cool things. And it didn't require a lot of money. And Paul was, initially felt a bit like a fish out of water amongst this new kind of group of friends. But he soon, got into the way of doing things the way they did. And they were quite surprised about Paul joining up with them, because why would this rich kid come and just live this kind of normal life that we're living? Anyway, things worked out pretty well. But then again, after a few years, his new friends began to drift away. Some went and got married, others moved because of a job. And so Paul kind of found himself back in square one again. Do I continue this life of adventure and doing all these cool things, or do I go back to my parents? Would you like to know what he did? Well, the thing is, it's not really that important what he did. The important thing is about stories. Stories captivate us. We get drawn in, we want to know, don't we? Stories are powerful. And that was just a kind of silly made-up story, really, I think. but we get drawn in, don't we? We want to know. Stories are very powerful. When we read the Gospels, much of Jesus' teaching is done by telling stories. You know, stories of a shepherd looking for a sheep, a woman looking for a coin, a father desperately hoping his son will return, about weddings, about farming. There's story after story after story that Jesus tells. You know, he doesn't get his disciples and sit them down and say, well, let's look at chapter 21 of Leviticus. And let me kind of unpack this for you so you understand it better. He never did that, did he? He illustrated truth by telling stories. I guess that's why we like reading books, or we're happy to pay money to go to watch a movie. Because stories are very, very powerful. And every one of us has a story, by the way. Whether we are a Christian or we're not a Christian, we have a story to tell, don't we? If we have put our trust in Jesus, then we have a story of transforming grace. Something that God has done in our lives that has made such a big difference. It says in 1 Peter 3:15, always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have. In other words, be prepared to tell your story. The story of hope, the story of a changed life. There are a number of testimonies, we call them testimonies, don't we, in the Bible. Think of the woman at the well. I'm sure we are familiar with her story, a Samaritan woman who meets with Jesus in the hottest part of the day. She's surprised to meet him, a man, talking to a Samaritan. Just didn't happen in those days. And Jesus talks about living water, and discovers actually that he knows more about her than she knows about herself. And so she goes rushing back to her village. Come and see a man who told me everything I've ever done. Maybe a slight exaggeration there. And people flock to hear Jesus. Think about the man born blind that Jesus heals. Well, that caused a bit of a stir, didn't it? Because Jesus healed him on a day that you're not really supposed to do healings, on the Sabbath. And so they quiz the man, who did this? You know, how dare someone do this on the Sabbath? Who did it? Tell us. And he says, well, I don't know. You know, you're the clever ones, you go and find out yourself. I don't know. All I know is that I was blind, and now I see. And that was his story, wasn't it? All I know, one day I was blind, but today I can see. Wow, that's quite a story. And of course they're not happy, you know, how dare you lecture us. But that was his story. I was blind, but now I see. We've heard about Paul, the apostle, who was, of course, Saul the Pharisee. We've heard his story. And in the Acts of the Apostles, he tells it, or retells it, I think, 5 or 6 times. Given an opportunity, Paul shares his story. So we all have a story, don't we? And I don't know if you've ever had an opportunity to share your story with people or with someone. But in closing, let me just give you a few tips or ways we might kind of put our story together, I suppose. First of all, what was our life before we encountered Jesus? Probably not like the Apostle Paul or Saul. In any case, we don't need to go into all the kind of gory details, if there are gory details, before we gave our life to Jesus. But maybe something that might connect with a non-believer. Maybe our priorities changed since then. Or what did we have as a substitute for God? before we put our trust in him. So life before. Secondly, how we realize we needed Jesus. No, what was dissatisfying about life, that we felt we needed something more, something better. How did God get our attention? So that might just be something to share. You know, maybe I had a hurt, maybe I had problems, maybe there were just certain circumstances, and that got my attention. Thirdly, again, very simply, how did you commit your life to Jesus? You know, what did you say? What did you do? Maybe it was just a simple prayer. Where were you when it happened? All part of your story, isn't it? And then finally, the difference Jesus has made. Now, what benefits have you experienced? How is life better with Jesus than it was without him? And so just a kind of simple structure, perhaps, of how we might tell our story if we have the opportunity. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you that you put a new song in our heart, a hymn of praise to our God. Thank you, Lord, for the stories we've heard this morning. Thank you that our stories are just part of your story, the story of your love for us, your story of your love for our friends and our colleagues and our neighbors and family members. Lord, would you help us when we have an opportunity to share our story, your story of your love and your grace. Lord, thank you for what you've done in our lives. And as we were reminded, we're not the finished article, that you would continue to shape us and mold us into the people that you want us to be. So we bless you, Lord Jesus. Thank you for your love and your kindness towards us. Lord, send us on our way, filled with your Spirit, ready to share the good news whenever we can and with whomever we can. Lord, bless us, we pray, in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen.